is right, man.
Hallelujah.
I tell you.
Hallelujah.
Woo. I'm over here singing the wrong words, wrong notes, and I just got the love of Jesus in my heart.
Amen.
Over here, though.
It
just, you guys are just fantastic. You are powerful, powerful witnesses and testimony to God's love and grace. And I thank you for that. And it's because you're people of prayer. And that's how we know. When you're aligned with God, the things you can do are just amazing. And the same is true with you. Same is true. When you're aligned with God, you are powerful people. You are powerful, powerful people. Amazing. It is amazing what can happen when we allow God to work in our lives in that way. It's a joy and a blessing. Have you all seen that peanut butter box commercial? Have you all seen that? All right, you got a big old St. Bernard and the little Chihuahua and the big dog's all excited. Oh, the peanut butter box and little Chihuahua. You could just say, it doesn't have peanut butter in it. You know, it's a commercial for medicine, and apparently that the owners wrap it up in peanut butter so that the dogs will take it. And so the big dog just thinks there's peanut butter in the box, and he's trying to explain to him how it works and all that. And the big dogs have, no, it's a peanut butter box. That's what it is. That's where the peanut butter's kept, is in that box. You know, sometimes we get confused about what's going on. You ever watch that animated series, The Simpsons?
Yeah.
All right. So there was this one episode where Homer Simpson calls in to the on a fundraiser. PBS is doing this fundraiser, okay? And he's tired of it, and he's bored with it. He wants it to go to regular programming. So he calls in with a pledge to take care of it. You know, I'll take care of it. Of course, he doesn't have the money, you know? And all of a sudden, when the PBS people find out about that he doesn't really have the money, they require him to work with a bunch of missionaries as they go and build a church. And Homer Simpson, being so theologically astute, he's very proud of the accomplishment, and he looks at the church, he says, "I don't know too much about God, but we sure have built him a nice little cage." It's the things, you know, we think about, the way we imagine things to be. Sometimes, though, we come up and we have to brush up against the reality. You ever go to a new church building dedication? You ever go to one of those worship services where they've built a new building? We've had them here when we rebuilt everything. You know, you have these worship services, and the preacher gets up there, and we talk about, "Oh, we've built an everlasting monument to God." And we don't notice that already the plumbers are coming in because the toilets are broken. All right, we think sometimes that everything is all of this and all of that, and we are mistaken. It is not always the way it goes. We hear this story, and sometimes we want to criticize Peter. You know, "Oh, let's make three booths. Let's make three dwellings. Let's do, you know." He's just seen Moses and Elijah and Jesus, glory, okay? Chances are really, really good. If Moses and Elijah and the glowing Jesus showed up next to you right now, you'd be whipping out your phone, wouldn't you? You'd be taking a selfie, right? Posting it on Instagram and in Facebook and Twitter and all that. So let's let, you know, you get... It's his celebrity moment. He's just getting all wrapped up in it. Sometimes we can lose ourselves, you know, and what's going on. I remember, I don't know, it was in the 80s, I think, maybe the 70s, could be 30s, I don't know. It was in the 80s. And this woman, 33-year-old school teacher, Rachel, I can't remember her last name. I've got it in my notes, though. So, anyways, Debbie Rollins, and she's a school teacher, and she's in this ice cream shop in Connecticut. And behind her, right behind her, in line, Paul Newman, okay? And she notices, but she wants to, you know, play it low, play it cool, not going to get all caught up in it, not going to get excited about it, just be nonchalant, you know, not make it a big deal, and... She orders her ice cream cone, and she pays for it, and the attendant puts the cone in the little holder and the change on the counter, and she walks out, and she doesn't have her ice cream cone. She goes, "Oh, dear, you know, I must have left it in the shop." She walks into the shop, and everybody busts out laughing. And Paul Newman looks at her and says, "It's in your purse." And sure enough, she opened up her purse, and there's Rocky Road melting all over the insides of her purse, you know. Let's face it, we can all have our Rocky Road moments, okay? Celebrity things happen, and then all this stuff is going on. Peter's just had his celebrity moment. He's just been with Moses, Elijah, and Jesus blowing up, okay? I mean, that's... You talk about mountaintop experiences. Moses goes up on a mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments, and the people see thunder and lightning going off on the mountain and all kinds of things going on. You know that story. Elijah goes up on the mountain, and God's not in the earthquake. God's not in the wind. God's not in the fire. God comes to Elijah with a still, small voice. Our passage is known as the Transfiguration. It is a mountaintop experience for Peter and the others. And while we may never have had that kind of experience, we've all had our moments of a spiritual high, a spiritual closeness, a mountaintop experience of feeling God's presence and love and grace. Maybe it was at an Emmaus retreat. It could have been at a church camp. It could have been a private moment in prayer. The thing is, God's presence isn't in a voice or a cloud. God's presence is in the person of Jesus. In Jesus. It's at Jesus' baptism. Remember Jesus' baptism? And he comes out of the water and God's voice declares, "This is my beloved Son." Here in our passage, we hear it again. "This is my beloved Son." But this time God adds, "Listen to him." Listen to him. The mystery and the miracle about the mountaintop experience isn't the mountain. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who touches us and says, "Don't be afraid." It's Jesus who comes to us and tells us that it's time to get up and go. It's Jesus who leads us down the mountain. When we have a divine encounter of the holy kind, we are thankful for that experience. But it's not a place we can stay, because the world needs divine encounters of its own. We don't need to be on a mountaintop to listen and to obey God's voice or to experience the touch of Jesus. Jesus' voice is heard in the reassuring words of a friend who stays with us and sits with us on our darkest night. The voice of Jesus is heard in the cries of marchers calling out for injustice, at the cries of community vigils who cry out against violence. The voice of Jesus is heard at the bedside of dying loved ones who are saying, "It's okay to let go. It's okay." The voice of Jesus is heard in delivery rooms, fresh with new life, as women are told to push, push, push through the pain. Give forth the new life. Do you remember the name given to Martin Luther King Jr.'s last speech delivered in Memphis? The sanitation workers' strike, April 3rd, 1968. I'm a history guy. The name they gave it to, the name they gave to that speech was, "I've been to the mountaintop." Now, I'm not going to read the whole speech, but I want to give you some of the excerpts from it. "The world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion is all around. But I see God working in this period. It's no longer a choice between violence and nonviolence. It's nonviolence or non-existence. That's where we are today. But when people get caught up with that which is right, and they are willing to sacrifice for it, there is no stopping point short of victory. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight, people, that we as a people will get to the promised land because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He didn't stay on the mountain. He went down to where God's people were because God's people needed to be set free. Being a Christian isn't just about having me and Jesus moments. It's about working with Jesus to help set people free from addictions or loneliness or depression or guilt or fear or blame, whatever it is that is binding them. And we tell them, Jesus has set you free from all of that. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. You are no longer weighed down by sin. You are no longer separated by God. You have been set free, loved by God through the power of Jesus Christ. We're coming into the season of spring, and then if you've ever been up north in the spring, this is when the trees just fill out with blossoms. There's flowers and blossoms and buds all over the place, and you just get naturally cheerful. Even if you're the grumpy type, you're just mad. You can't see all that beauty. You're smiling at strangers and waving to neighbors, and you're just thinking everything is just so beautiful. But in a few couple weeks, what's happened? Blossoms have faded. Flowers are gone. And you go, that's the way it is in the world. Nothing beautiful ever lasts. And you're grumpy and you're grouchy and you're just blah. But then, a few more weeks later, there's some fruit. There's fruit. It's tasty. It's nutritious. It's delicious. And it sustains life. If we always kept the tree filled with blossoms, we'd never get the fruit. If we always stay on the mountaintop, we're never going to get into the world where Jesus is alive and working and sharing love and sharing grace. Blossoms and buildings and even mountaintop experiences do not endure. They do not last. That which does last is relationship. Relationship. That's what lasts. In Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of God, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, for his steadfast love endures forever. The entire psalm, his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. It's not our building, it's not our mountaintop experiences. It's God's steadfast love and grace given to us in Jesus Christ. It's that relationship that endures forever. It's that which sustains us. It's that which allows us to continue on. It's nothing we create. It's something that we receive, and we receive it, and then we share it, and then Jesus comes to us, and he comes to us, and he says to us, don't be afraid. It's time to get up and go. Amen.
Amen.